Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant House.
And we have a birthday boy in the house, everyone. Jim Peterson.
How old are we now? We said 38, 39. How old are you? How old are you?
I was 36 when I started with the Wolves, and I'm 62 now. That's crazy to me.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how I feel like most people who would have covered 26 years of the Timberwolves would look older than you do. So nice job to you for finding ways to remain stress-free through some of those dark years. There was a dark 15-year period there, but you made it out.
Yeah, man. You know what? The KG years, I rode the wave of the KG years for 15 to 16 years until we got to this current era. So thank you, KG.
Yeah, I actually have a birthday song for Jim real quick. I just would love keep celebrating here. Kyle's got the hat on. Are you ready? I'm going to sing for the first time ever on Flair, right? This is your birthday song. It's not going to last very long.
You've been saving that one for a while, haven't you?
It really have been. Yeah, the whole season.
I will say we were talking offline, talking about hair, because I think I'm probably going to join you guys here soon. But Jim's Wikipedia page does have like a real, like if you haven't seen it yet, go to Wikipedia. You have a good set of hair there. It looks like that was from 1988. So that's when I was born, but you used to have a pretty good head of lettuce up there.
I had a pretty good mop, man. I didn't think I was going to lose it. But you know what? I used to go like this when I started losing my hair. Like I used to go like, what is this going to look like? And I was like, oh my God, not good. I'm not going to look good bald, but here we go. You know what?
Yeah.
62, never looked better.
62, hitting the ball 300 yards, you know, just rocking and rolling. We got some fun stuff for you here, and then we have a random Wolf of the Week later on, too. And I don't want to spoil it, but we're going to do a second episode today of Flagrant Howls where we actually track down our first ever random Wolf of the Week to join the podcast. So Jim will tell you about that afterwards, yeah, because we don't want to spoil it, you know, for the audience, but it'll be our first ever random Wolf of the Week guest on the show. So we're very excited about that. But Jim, let's start here on Flagrant House today at Timberwolves Lifestyle Podcast. We got the second half in air quotes. It's not really like they're way past the halfway point, but the All-Star break kind of represents a deep breath and then a stretch run. I'm just going to ask you, are we on finals watch with this team? Like this team, we've been having a great time. Number one seed pretty much the whole season, proving all the doubters wrong, right? to what extent are we on NBA Finals watch? How good is this Wolves team now that you've seen all these games so far?
Well, I'm definitely thinking that we have the ability to get there. I think that it's just funny because I'm watching all the pundits and we're being left off a lot of lists. You know, I see that, you know, Denver, Clippers, Dallas, you know, are kind of the front runners. And I think that a lot of people would still like to see the Lakers get into the mix. But I can see why. Obviously, Denver deserves to be in the mix for sure. But I think we match up really well with the Denver Nuggets. We've seen how we match up with the Clippers. I think the game at Target Center here during this homestand is going to be, we're home for seven. I think it's game six of the seven game homestand. And then, you know, I think that obviously, you know, we've had problems with OKC. We've had problems with the Pelicans. Dallas is going to be a different team this last stretch of games. So what do we have left? We have 27 games left. So that these last 26, 27 games for the Mavericks, I think they probably did the best job in the Western Conference of improving their team at the trade deadline. Daniel Gafford really helps them, and so does PJ Washington. But as far as we're concerned, I mean, we've got a really, you know, really nice schedule to finish the season here. So it's 27 games left. I don't know. I think we can go 19-8. That's kind of my prediction right now. So we've got the 7-game homestand. We have a 6-game road trip, and then we play 10 of the last 14 at home. So, you know, 7 back-to-backs, but you know, a bunch of those are home back-to-backs. I think, 3 or 4 of the 7 are home back-to-backs. So it's not quite as bad, but, I think the schedule is favorable. I think that getting the number one seed is going to be really important. I think that seeding is one of the most important things. So, like, you got to play everybody. You know, obviously you'd like to stay out of Phoenix's, you know, bracket. I think that Phoenix probably gives us the most problems. I don't know who you guys think would be the toughest matchup, but I am for sure bullish on Minnesota making it to the finals.
Wow.
So, Jim, when you coached with Cheryl and the Lynx, every year you were a contender, basically, you know, and every other year you won a title. But I remember the year I was working there, I think it was the Olympic break. So, like, you're cruising through the season, but then you have this really long break, longer than All-Star break. But as a coach, what do you tell your players? Like, what do you think Finch is telling those guys in the locker room of kind of this stretch run and how to keep them focused on, like you said, how important the one seed could be, having home court advantage and not having a lull after these guys kind of had a week off?
Well, you know, I think that one of the things, you know, was like, I've talked to other coaches about, you know, kind of grinding your team to try to get the one seed. And I think that there's, you know, we were talking about this in Portland, Kyle, of the importance of getting to the one seed. I just think that it gives you a much better, the odds go way up. If you are able to be the one seed, I mean, think about the last time Minnesota was the one seed. They were the one seed in 2003, 2004, and they made it to the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, having that home court advantage and having that game 7 at home makes a huge difference for your odds to get there. So, you know, I'm talking about, and this is one thing that Cheryl would always bring up during our season, is how important it is to get the home court advantage in the playoffs. I mean, that's really what we played for. So the regular season was super important to her. And we geared up everything. Every game was like a playoff game to us. And that, because, you know, in the WNBA, it's only 34 games, so it's a little bit different, right? You know, this last stretch of games, though, I think that Finchie has, and this coaching staff is just, it's the best coaching staff that we've had since I've been with the Timberwolves. And it's, I think it's safe to say it, in team history, the work that they've done to manage the personalities and to put out all the fires. And I've said this many times that, you know, it's like when a problem comes up, Finch has this ability to address the issue, fix it, and move on to the next thing. And so he's done that with this team in such a great way. You know, I just think that, that this coaching staff is going to get them to where they need to be. So, you know, focusing on talking about being the one seed, I don't think is out of bounds. I think that you have to have a goal, and the Wolves have been in first place for a long time. But if you take it one game at a time, and I know it sounds cliche, but that's really what you have to do. And Finchie's always about setting like little goals in small segments. So, you know, this homestand, these next seven games, let's talk about, you know, like game by game. Let's just get through the seven games and then go on to the next segment and then get to that last 10 of 14, because having the number one seed is going to be very, very important for this team to have success.
You mentioned a few minutes ago, Jim, just the national talking heads are having a hard time putting the Wolves in that conversation, despite now it's been almost three quarters of the season and they've just been hanging right at the top of the conference. 20-point wins on the road against the Clippers. I mean, the evidence is staring in the face, but it's the Timberwolves. I don't think they can get it out of their heads that it's the Timberwolves, and it's Karl-Anthony Towns has had these sort of playoff failures and Rudy Gobert has been played off the court, so they just kind of put him in a separate bin. But if you take away the Timberwolves' preconceived bias for a second, in fact, I'm going to give you a stat storm. I'm going to steal Katie's segment right now, okay? This is a stat storm. So of the last 30 years in the NBA, the teams that finish the season in the regular season, number one in defensive net rating. So what can you hang your hat on if you're the Wolves? Well, they are the number one defense in the NBA, number one defensive net rating. So 100% of the number one defenses have made the playoffs over 30 years. That's not a question. 87% of the number one net rating defenses advance in the playoffs beyond the first round. 68% make the conference finals. 35% of number one net rating defenses make it to the NBA finals. So just having that as the thing that you're hanging your hat on, I mean, it doesn't guarantee you got to play the games and everything you said is correct, get that home court advantage. But if that is the base that you're working with, number one defense, historically, 35% of those teams make the NBA finals, Jim Pete.
I wonder what happens if you also say if you're a top five three-point shooting team as well in the recent history, because effective field goal percentage matters. You know, I think that obviously defense travels, but you got to be able to make shots too. You got to be able to shoot the basketball, and you got to be able to make threes. You can't have the three-point disparity be super huge, which is something that Minnesota's had in years past, going into the playoffs when they've made the playoffs. So yeah, no, I'm with you, man. Like, defense travels. Like, this team is built to win. This is why I'm bullish on this team, is because this team is committed to the defensive end. This team is committed to fixing problems. And the way that they've been moving the basketball and passing the ball and sharing it, the way that Ant's gotten off of it, and the way that he's making a simple, easy pass, the easy early pass in the possession, so he's not like giving guys hand grenades at the end of shot clock. But, you know, I just think that all these things are coming into alignment. Now it's a matter of not having a bunch of slippage to keep moving down that road and then be playing your best basketball come April.
One of the guys that's been a key part of not only that defense, that offense, but just this turnaround is Mike Conley. That was kind of the news of the week, right? Him taking essentially a pay cut to extend here for two more years. I'm just curious, you've been here for, you know, doing this for 26 years. You've seen a lot of guys come in and out. A lot of them haven't worked, but what are you, what have you seen maybe behind the scenes on the bus or whatever, like, that Mike Conley brings to this team, and why is it so important that they extended him to have him around here for a couple more years?
Well, I mean, like, what does it say to you guys that he signed for the number that he signed for? Were you guys shocked at the number?
Shocked.
I would say yes, and no.
He's making $24.5 million this year, and he's going to make $22 million, $21 million the next 2 years. That's, I know Phil's less shocked than I am, but that's a big, big pay cut.
Well, Kyle and I kind of went back and forth on this the other day on the podcast. I just feel like, and again, I've never been in a situation in my life where I've made $200 million doing something. So, but I just feel like if you're in your mid to late 30s and you've made $250 million at your craft, what do you weigh more? Squeezing an extra $10 million out of another team, or just being in a great situation where you still make a lot of money, by the way? I just feel like Conley's kind of in legacy mode, Jim. So that's why it makes sense. Like, would you rather play for a championship or go and be the point guard for the Spurs and help Wemby grow and lose a bunch of games? Like, it's kind of a no-brainer to me to take a little bit less money to stay with a great situation, I guess.
Well, I mean, look, wasn't it sad when Tony Parker went to Charlotte? I mean,
that was one of the saddest
like ends of the career. Like, I didn't enjoy that. So I wasn't that shocked when the number came out, to tell you the truth, because You talk about the value of what Mike brings. I think that he was surprised that he was going to be catapulted into the position that he was in once he was traded here, because I don't think he was crazy about leaving Utah. And his family, I know his family wasn't. His house was beautiful. He had this beautiful setup in Utah. And then, like, in the offseason, they go back to Ohio and they have their place in Ohio. And they had this really kind of beautiful setup where their kids were still young enough where they didn't need to be in school yet, for sure. But now they're going to be. And so I think that he's and this happens a lot to players that come to Minnesota, by the way. They don't know much about it, you know, but once they get here, especially if they have families too, and the schools are great, and it's easy to live here, and it's easy to make friends. And I think that this team, more than any other team, is like, it's like it was ready to have Mike Conley here. So they've embraced him. The team chemistry, the team dynamic is such that, and I was saying this before too, because I just know that my Lynx run and through my NBA career, you know, I made it to the NBA finals my second year in the league. So, you know, drafted with Olajuwon, with Ralph Sampson, we had this great team. And so you only get so many bites of the apple, because we thought that when we lost to Boston in '86, we thought we were geared up to have a run in the finals like the Lakers were going to have, you know, or had at the time. We thought we were going to replace the Lakers because we felt like we were the up and coming young guns and we could beat the Lakers. We proved that. We beat them 3-1 in the playoff series. And when you think you're going to get all these bites of the apple, and it all of a sudden that team was unraveled within 2 years. That team was, everybody was gone. It was all traded. Only Olajuwon was left. And then they rebuilt, and then they won the championship in 92, you know, with they won with Vernon Maxwell, or 94, excuse me, with Vernon Maxwell and all those, Kenny Smith and all those guys. But I think Mike understands that this is his best chance to win a championship. And I think legacy, like you said, a very important thing, Phil, legacy matters to these guys, you know, especially to a guy like Mike. So between his family being happy here, it being a great dynamic, and him playing on a great team, being coached by a great coach like Chris Finch, I think he really resonates with Chris Finch. He really resonates with the group, with the fan base. I think that discount that he gave the Wolves, I think, was almost predictable, because, I mean, we're looking at being at the second apron right now. I mean, the tax is going to be real. And so I think legacy matters to Mike, and I think it's a great thing for this team. And it speaks volumes, Kyle, of how he's both viewed and how he views the organization.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, and now he's going to get another bite at potentially championship.
You're on your worst behavior today.
That's right. I'll be here all day, folks. So another thing that was sort of trending, I guess, on Wolves Twitter and even around the NBA a couple days ago, Karl-Anthony Towns sits down with Rachel Nichols, and I'll paraphrase here, and I'm one of the idiots that just saw the tweet come across and misconstrued it as, why is he talking about Steph and KG? We might need to give him a history lesson. No, he was saying, I've been talking to KG, and you guys remember what happened with Steph Marbury and KG back in the day. Let's take egos aside. Anthony Edwards and myself just want to win. We want to take that torch and pick it up from 25 years ago. And from an ego-free standpoint, carry it forward. What did you make of that? Did you see those comments? And just even going back, reflecting on 25 years ago, it does feel like there's been a lack of closure of 25 years. Wolves fans have always wondered kind of what if those guys could have put, by those guys, by the way, Stephon Marbury is the one that's ego flared up. In that scenario, But what do you make of Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, really having removed their egos to this point from the equation and just coming together to play basketball and maybe win a championship?
I mean, is it any question that KG's all in on Minnesota, especially Anthony Edwards? It's great.
Get him back in the arena. Come on.
I mean, he is all in on Ant. I mean, it's been great to see KG's comments about that. And I think that obviously, you know, Ticket knows the pitfalls too of what could have been, because that was my first year with the Wolves. My first year, we started the season with Steph Marbury, and then he was traded. And that was one of the most difficult moments. I mean, for the franchise for sure, especially for Kevin Garnett. I mean, that Sam Mitchell was so angry at shoot around on the day he was traded, he was throwing basketballs off the rack up. And I mean, like, it really impacted this group a lot. It impacted the organization for a long time, because KG and Steph Marbury were supposed to be Stockton and Malone. They were supposed to be, you know, 18-year careers together, those two breaking records, winning championships, putting Minnesota on the map. And Steph had other ideas. He couldn't deal with KG making the money that he was making, and he felt like it was his team, but it really was KG's team at the time. So I think it's great perspective. I think it shows, and this is what, you know, Carl is kind of is really a thoughtful guy, man. Like, he's a great person. Like, I don't think P gets enough credit, you guys, for being the person that he actually is, very thoughtful. And so for him to like have these conversations and put it into that context for our fan base, and Carl's been here 9 years now, so he kind of understands the mindset of this sports ecosystem and how disappointed we've been here in Minnesota over the years. So I thought it was great perspective. I didn't see the quotes. I just really heard about it in the last day or two, but I just thought it showed Carl has really great perspective.
Speaking of those comments from over the weekend, they were delivered at All-Star Weekend, which when Phil and I did this on Tuesday, Jim, I normally don't get mad online, but I was just screaming into the mic about how stupid All-Star Weekend has become, how bad the game was. I was watching an old highlight of an old All-Star game where, like, they actually tried, and it was Kobe Bryant versus Stephon Marbury going at it in the fourth quarter, shot for shot, tough defense. Did you watch any part of this All-Star game, and what do you think about just how the game has kind of devalued itself and there's not a lot of effort? And can you fix it? Can you fix the All-Star game?
No, I think it's part and parcel of what kind of sports has become. It's sort of I just think that there's no – you just talked about Carl having perspective. I don't think there's any perspective. In fact, I sent both of you the link, and Phil, you said you had seen it. There was a video that the NBA Players Association put out. They had done this documentary and a little it's like, what is it, 15, 16-minute piece on the 1964 All-Star game when – I mean, basically, they had to like threaten to not play a game that was super important to the owners, because it was going to be really a television contract with ABC, and so the players knew that if they were ever going to get leverage to be able to improve their work conditions, it was going to be this moment, this All-Star game in 1964, 60 years ago, that they were going to be able to get a pension, you know, improved working situation, like better pay. Back then, guys were making $8,000 a year, and they had to have two jobs. I mean, that was pretty common in all the sports back then, both in baseball, football, and in pro basketball. But I just was thinking about Oscar Robertson, because I had seen that. I knew about the 1964 All-Star game when they threatened to not play, and that basically had to negotiate a deal with the owners there in Boston. I just thought about Oscar Robertson sitting there on the bench. Like, what must he be thinking? They literally sacrificed their careers that night in Boston during the All-Star game. They sacrificed their careers. And what Oscar must be thinking sitting there? Can you imagine?
Yeah, on one hand, I fought Kyle and said, just don't watch it. People get outraged on the internet. But on the other hand, I don't know. I think you said it, that this is kind of the state of sports. And I think guys are much more, first of all, players are much more transient in terms of, you don't get guys that played for the Celtics for 10 years and then retired, and if they see a Laker on the streets, they're going to brawl in an alley, right? Like, LeBron has played for Cleveland, Miami, back to Cleveland, over to LA. He's on private jets with Chris Paul and Carmelo, and like everyone's friendlier than they were 30 years ago. And so they're like, they're literally, Anthony Edwards verbalized it. He said, our goal is to just kind of have fun, take a vacation, and not hurt each other. And it, and if you were to ask Kobe Bryant 20 years ago, do you care if anyone gets hurt? He'd say, I mean, we're just looking to win the game first and foremost. So I feel like players being friends with each other is playing into it, and probably a lack of maybe understanding the roots of what you're talking about from 1964.
Well, I just think that money and sort of like when you get treated the way that the players get treated. Now, I'm not saying I want to go back to, because I think that the players today are so super talented. The shot making, the way the game is played now is kind of, is for me, is a little bit more pleasing to the eye. When I see games back in the 80s and 90s, like the spacing issues is awful sometimes in some ways to watch. But I think that in some ways the players were bigger personalities. I mean, just think about the names you were talking about in the 90s, Kyle. And then you go back to some of those 80s All-Star games too. I mean, like it was a who's who, and they all played. And they didn't need a bunch of gimmicks on All-Star Saturday night to get people to be interested in it. And I just think that the fact that you're not getting the best players, the fact that Mac McClung, I mean,
thank
like,
you.
He's great. Like he's great. Like I love the guy. He's I loved, actually, he said something that was super important too, because he was like, people were asking him about why he's not playing in the NBA. And he's like, look, this is my lot. Like this is the cross that I've got to bear. I'm paraphrasing now, but like he's basically saying, like, this is my situation. I've got to like live through this, and I'm making the best of it, you know? And so I'm not hating on Mac McClung. Like he's great, like he's a fantastic dunker. But the fact that he's won twice in a row. Should be an embarrassment to the players in this league that they aren't competing to do something that's like it's a marquee event at All-Star Weekend. Like you can make, talk about legacy. I mean, you could be a legend by winning that if you come correct, you know? And so it just bothers me that like even the way that they went through the skills challenge too, like they didn't take that seriously. They weren't even following the rules. How many times did guys have to start over again? You know, I mean, like they aren't taking it seriously. I think it's going to probably end up like the pro football, you know, All-Star game too. Like, I just think the Pro Bowl is a joke too, playing touch football. I mean,
they do a long drive competition among players.
Dick Butkus is rolling over in his grave right now, seeing touch football. I mean, this is.
I can see Dick Butkus, a bloody taped hand coming through the dirt. Just no. No,
I don't know. So like, I'm not a big fan, man. Like I really am to the point now where I am like next year, I am not going to talk about All-Star. I'm not going to talk about who should make the All-Star. I don't care. If they don't care, I don't care. So that's kind of where I'm at this juncture.
He gets it, Phil.
Standing ovation from Kyle. I will say, and then Kyle has a fun talker here. Last point is I am 10 times more offended by a G League player winning the dunk contest than I am about like guys not trying as much in the All-Star game. It stops. I don't know if like if Vince Carter scared everyone 20 years ago by putting his elbow in the rim and said, okay, wow, we can't top that. But LeBron James has never competed in the dunk contest. Anthony Edwards should be in the dunk contest before he's in the skills competition shooting left-handed. There's so many star players that I'd love to see in the dunk contest. All due respect to Mac McClung, but what are we doing here? If we're not going to put people that are household names in the dunk contest.
I think Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon, they kind of broke the dunk contest. That was That was one of the greatest displays in basketball history. Like those two, what those two did mano a mano going at each other. And I think that almost like, what do you do after that? Like, I think those two broke the slam dunk contest because I think that we might've run out of dunks. I mean, then Mac McClung does what he does. So I guess there's still things. It's, you know, it's really about the style, and it's about the guys going out there and giving you absolute effort. And I think that's all anybody wants. And, but you know, until they fix being able to play competitively on game day, it's not going to matter what they do on Star Saturday night.
Yeah, I agree. We can close with this, Phil. So break is done. Games start tonight, by the way, and I'm so thankful because I have run out of Yellowstone episodes to watch. But basketball starts tonight. Wolves are back tomorrow. 7-game homestand, 27 games left. So this question to you is like the best question for this break. I've always wanted you, Minnesota born and raised, you played at the U of M, you live in Minnesota. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore, men or women, of Minnesota basketball personalities? So like people from Minnesota that played basketball. Who is on your Mount Rushmore of Minnesota basketball players, men or women?
That's a great question. I wish I knew like more of the high school like history, but I only get four names, you know, so that's kind of the, you know, there've been so many great high school coaches that have impacted the game. Dave Thorson, who right now is with Ben Johnson at the University of Minnesota. Dave Thorson is one of the great high school coaches of all time at De La Salle. The number of Division I college basketball players that dude kicked out, he would be on my list of considerations. But you know Kevin Garnett has to be on the on my Mount Rushmore. I just think that he's just too important to basketball history in the state, especially the amount of people that he turned on to the game. People love the game of basketball, and not just here in Minnesota. KG had a worldwide impact, so that has to put him on Mount Rushmore for that very reason. So Ticket is for sure going to be on my Mount Rushmore. I think, you know, the greatest pro to play in the NBA in this, and also great college player too at the University of Minnesota, was Kevin McHale. Mm-hmm. So McHale has to be on my Mount Rushmore. I mean, all-time NBA great. I mean, George Mikan. I mean, does George Mikan deserve to be on there? I think that there's some consideration there for them. I would also throw Michael Thompson's name out there if it's not George Mikan. Michael Thompson was my biggest hero. I wore 43 in the NBA because of Michael, and perhaps the greatest Gopher of all time.
The broadcasting career too. I mean, how long has he been with the Lakers now, man? 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years. He was here for a couple of years, and then he left here in 2003, 2004 was my first year doing TV after he left. So he was here in 2003 was his last.
So the Lakers stole Michael Thompson and Mike Trudell from us the last 15 years.
That's right. And the team name, the Lakers, they stole everything.
Right.
So here's my last one. Lindsay Whalen is going to make my Mount Rushmore Hall of Fame.
Yep.
She's just too important to the game in terms of what she's done with the Lynx and with the Gophers and putting this game on the map of the state of Minnesota. She's the greatest women's player from the state of Minnesota. So that's it. KG, McHale, Mikan, and Whalen.
It's a good list, man.
That's a good list.
That's a good list right there.
So we promised we wouldn't pump your tires having you on every week, but since it is your birthday, I'm going to throw you a bone here. I was doing this with my dad last night, this game, and we filtered it to Minnesota. You have to also be born here. So if that caveat is added, the one that my dad and I came up with was Lindsay Whalen, Kevin McHale, you, and then Tyus Jones. Because again, like the impact you had, not only playing at U of M, but like now again, you said you've worked here for 26 years. You are, you know, you are Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. So that was our four if it was from the local area and you were born here. But I think yours, bigger picture, makes a lot of sense. So that was mine.
No, I think that, you know, if I was going to do a Timberwolves one, I don't know, you know, we're just flip fitting because I kind of threw a wrench into my whole philosophy about, you know, I think a lot of people have a lot of love for Flip because, you know, Flip is from Ohio, obviously. But, you know, if we were doing a Timberwolves one, if I'm doing a Mount Rushmore of Timberwolves Hall of Fame, like, I don't know. I got to reserve a spot for Finchie, too, because I think Finchie's going to be on that Mount Rushmore.
When all is said, Finchie,
Jeff Munich,
JJ Barea,
and then Jim.
Yeah, well, I don't know. What about Marvin Harb? Those two could have can you make two heads into one? I don't know. They go together.
Like, the Mount Rushmore has a Siamese twin section over there, I guess. It's like, by the way, I did pull up the top 10 Minnesota born players in NBA history in terms of just minutes played. So just minutes played in the NBA. Jim Pete, you are 10th on this list. And then Brad Lohaus is 9. Devin George, Joel Prisbilla, Tyus Jones. Number 5 is Dick Garmaker. Garmaker from the 1950s.
Just catching strays.
Randy Brewer, Chris Humphreys, Mark Olberding, and then Kevin McHale. Most minutes, Minnesota Bulls.
Chris Humphreys played a lot of minutes. Okay. That's interesting. Oh, yeah.
He played for a long time. He played a long time.
Like Chris Humphreys played a long time. I see him at when I go work out at the gym, and he's still in great shape. But that dude, he was pretty skilled, man. He only played, he was one and done at the University of Minnesota, but he played a long time in the NBA. Had a pretty great underrated career.
That's true.
And then Mark Olberding is one of the greats of all time. I mean, he was one of the classic like one and duns too, because he played at the University of Minnesota. I don't remember if he played 1 or 2 years at Minnesota before he left with Bill Musselman to go play in the ABA too. He played in the ABA for the San Diego Sales. Musselman took him with him when Mus left, and Jim Dutcher came in. So yeah, those are some great memories, man. Some great names. There have been some great players. We need some more Gophers making it into the NBA right now. Amir Coffey's
rotation, man.
He's riding up the list now. He's doing a great job with the Clippers. I had a chance to chat Amir up on the court, and I'm so happy for him because his dad's a great guy. Richard Coffey's a great guy, and I'm so proud of Amir and what he's doing now with the Clippers.
Yeah, we need that. I had a little bit of a dry spell. I think it was like Chris Humphreys. Coffey was a second round pick, right? Because I think we went like 15 years without a Gophers player getting drafted in either the first or second round. So we got to get some more. I agree. Get some more Gophers out there. But Jim Pete, happy birthday to you. Thanks again. Thursday here.
Hey, are you on the call? Are you on the call tomorrow night? I know the game's on ESPN. Is Bally's doing a call as well?
Yeah, we're doing the call. Is it a 9 p.m. game tomorrow? They moved it back. We're the second game.
Yeah, speaking of coffee, you're going to need some coffee for that because that's a late tip.
Oh, you're going to love that time, Kyle. It's right in your wheelhouse.
It is. It's perfect for me. Perfect for me. I appreciate you.
Oh, man. Some of us are going to need a four-hour nap.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome, man. Love you, Jim. We'll talk to you again next week, man.
All right, see ya.
Jim Peterson. Legendary Jim Peterson. We'll get our guy Ross in here in just a second, Kyle, for a random Wolf of the Week. You can leave the birthday hat on.
It'll start to cut into my face.
why is there blood dripping down the side of Kyle's face? Just grinding out that Jim Pete discussion. But let's say hello to a couple friends first, starting with Modest Brewing. So the Wolves are home for the next couple weeks, and Modest Brewing could be your home for a fun pregame activity. Head on down to one of the best tap rooms in the Twin Cities, right in the North Loop, just down the street from Target Center. Also, cans available inside liquor stores throughout the metro. It's very close to Target Center, and it's a great spot to grab a beer before or after a Wolves game. So, again, tomorrow night, got that late start. Maybe you can get an early start at Modest and head there for some of these games on the homestand, Kyle. And when you're back in town here again, we'll crack a couple beers at Modest Brewing and modestbrewing.com. Also, a shout-out to our friends at First Equity Mortgage. So David at First Equity helped me refinance a home 6 or 7 years ago, I want to say, and I had a great experience. First Equity has been around 24 years in the Twin Cities market. They pride themselves on supporting the community and treating every customer as a friend and neighbor. David's actually, as we've mentioned, a 20-year season ticket holder of the Timberwolves and the Lynx. He's been around for a game or two, these Timberwolves eras that we discuss. And they work fast, they work efficiently, and they're one of the best loan originators in the country. You know you're getting a great experience with First Equity Mortgage. FEMORT.com or ScoreNorth.com. Keyword, David. Okay, Ross, come on in here. Ross has been down for the count, man. Ross has been like to more doctors and been... Ross got hit with like a cold bug that turned into something ferocious. But he's back now. He sounds a lot better.
I'm on a bit of a delay with you guys. Can you even see me?
Oh, we can see you.
You can hear you. Yeah. It's time for our favorite segment of the week.
It is.
A segment like you said at the top, a segment that has spurred...
Take two, any better?
Yeah, you're back now. You're good.
We're great. Good now.
This segment has spurred some new guests that I'm excited for that one. I don't know if we're going to drop it today or tomorrow or whenever, but we have another guest coming on that's going to be a fun one. So
yes. So be on the lookout for a random bonus episode week joining the show. So here's how it works. Kyle, by the way, has an 8-5 lead over me all time. Ross will throw out a series of clues. We get up to 3 incorrect guesses each. We can shout out answers whenever we want to. If one of us hits a 3rd incorrect guess, the other person wins automatically. The last handful of random wolves, Andre Kirilenko, J.R. Ryder, Sam Mitchell, Derrick Rose, and Robert Covington. If we can get Ross's internet to work, we will commence here.
I was just going to tell you to stall. I'll be right back. But I think we're good.
I think there we're okay.
Go. Let's get it.
I think we're good. Let's try this.
Okay, here we go.
Clue number 1. This random wolf of the week is in his 30s. This random wolf of the week is in his 30s. I can already tell Kyle doesn't love the clue based off of the way.
No, I think that's my wheelhouse.
Just
I think
reacted.
To under 40s for me and a little over 40, Phil always hits those.
I have a much better memory of things that happened in like the 90s and early 2000s than I do yesterday.
You have good long-term recall.
Where'd you and your wife go to dinner last night? I don't know, but I remember that game against the Golden State Warriors when Adonel Foyle went for 15 and 20 against Rosh Onestarevich.
Our brains are broken. Okay, 30s.
This random wolf of the week could best be described as an NBA journeyman. This random wolf of the week could best be described as an NBA journeyman.
Boy.
Okay. Oh
my goodness. Okay, there's a lot of candidates here.
This random wolf of the week played in over 800 career games.
Okay, so you said played, so is it not active anymore? Too. Huh?
Not gonna work anymore, that's for sure.
Look at you guys picking up on some of the clues. This random wolf of the week retired in November of 2020.
Just had enough. The pandemic, just done.
Done with all this crap. And stayed home.
The bubble.
Crossing sports, but very Mikko Koivu-like. I'm out.
Yeah. Peace. That's how I'm going to do podcasting. I'm just going to stop doing them one day. You won't even hear from me.
Wait,
I'm not going to be like LeBron and have a farewell tour that he's 50-50 on. I'm just going to be out. You'll be like, where did he go?
Retired in November 2020. Retired on top?
This random wolf of the week did play college basketball. So he did play college basketball. Oh, we forgot the heat checks. We'll bring that back next week.
I have a guess.
Okay.
Is it Wayne Ellington?
It is not Wayne Ellington.
Okay.
I think we should have a Wayne Ellington guess of the week.
we forgot our heat check guess of the week.
Off the top, we
get a heat check guess.
I have four names in my head, but he played college. I thought you were going to maybe tell me where, but okay, he played college basketball.
Wayne does appear to be the favorite random guess out of nowhere. I like that.
The RKO out of nowhere.
This random wolf of the week is 6'9" tall. Wolf of the week is 6'9" tall. Random wolf of the week played for 8 different NBA franchises. Going back to that journeyman.
So averaging 100 games per franchise, basically.
How many guesses do we get? 3?
Yeah, 3. We can burn one.
Ross's.
You want me to read it?
No, I'll just say. Is it Evan Turner?
It is not Evan Turner.
Okay.
Okay, are the Wolves still paying like a cap hit on him? I see him on the SpoTrack page.
I'm not cheating right now,
but.
He has the coolest house in Portland. It's up on this hill. I think I've told this before, but. He still hasn't sold it yet. I got confirmed last week because I ran into someone who knows him. But his house, Phil, was this house out in Portland on this hill that a garbage truck accidentally slipped backing up and fell through the bushes and fell into his pool. And they had to get like 2 cranes to lift this giant garbage thing out of Evan Turner's pool. And it hurt his resale value as I'm learning about buying a house. So random Evan Turner story. I don't think they're still paying him. He might still be on a random spot track. I'm not even sure if he played for the Wolves. Like, did he ever report?
I don't think he played a game. It was just his contract. By the way, are we counting just contracts? That's what I want to know. Because there's been a couple guys, like, didn't Theo Ratliff once get traded, like his contract got traded, or he might have played a game for the Wolves.
Okay, that was a terrible guess is the summary. My bad, Ross. Keep cooking.
This random Wolf of the Week has won an NBA title.
Yeah. See, I'm onto this. He went out on top, dude. He 100% went out on top. Because why would you retire in November of 2020? Because the season ended in October of 2020.
He's on that list of Wolves that have won NBA championships.
I think of that team now. It was basically LeBron, AD, and a bunch of other randoms.
Of those eight franchises, this random Wolf of the Week played for one of them twice.
He's 6'9". Okay. Because I had another guess, but he's a guard. Okay, 6'9".
This random Wolf of the Week averaged just under 9 points per game in his NBA career.
That one never does it for me.
But it's it tells you that he's like if you score 9 points a game in the NBA, you're like a solidly in a rotation. You know, you're not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay.
This random Wolf of the Week played parts of six seasons for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, wow. Whoa, okay.
This one won't do it for Kyle, but it might be helpful to Phil. This random Wolf of the Week averaged 9.9 points per game while playing for the Timberwolves. So scored more points than his career average while playing for the Timberwolves.
Is it... Oh, God. Is it Nemanja Bjelica?
Is that a guess?
He played. I mean, it has to be. It's official. It's wrong, but
he's still playing. Okay. Stop trying to bury his career.
I don't think he's playing.
Isn't Belly?
Didn't we look this up? I think
isn't
he's
he
playing.
On the
he
Warriors?
Was with the war. He was with the Warriors a couple years ago, wasn't he? Or is he still on the? I'm going to look up Bjelica.
This random Wolf of the Week has scored 50 points in an NBA game.
Corey Brewer.
Kyle's correct.
Yes. I was going to, oh, you know what's funny? Congratulations, Kyle. I was going to guess Corey Brewer three clues ago, but kept going back to the 6'9" thing. I'm like, he's not 6'9".
Is Corey Brewer
6'9"?
I was going to guess Aaron Brooks was one, but then that one.
I'm nervous that I screwed you guys up. Let's double check.
No.
There's no way he's 6'9".
So I'm looking this up now on my phone. Corey Brewer retired in November.
He's 6'9".
Really?
Wow, dude. Kyle's back on track. Congratulations.
Corey Brewer retired on November 16th, 2020. You're right. And I think he's on a coaching staff now somewhere in the league.
The Pelicans. He's a part of player development.
Yeah, okay. Good call. Good call.
Man, Corey Brewer.
That was a tough one. We went through like nine guesses.
You got to 13.
Clues.
Bjelica, by the way, he won a championship with the Warriors in 2022, and then that was it. That was a wrap for him.
Oh, so he's not in the league.
He's been out for 2 years, I guess, apparently.
Because I saw in the last week there was a photo of him and Ricky Rubio over in, like, Spain, because Rubio's kind of doing more Spanish basketball things again, which is great. Good to see him kind of out there again in public. But, okay, I did not know that. I would have bet money that Belly was still on the Warriors. So,
and I would have bet money that Corey Brewer was 6'7". Or 6'6", but I guess
6'9", that's
crazy. Shoot your shot, man.
That's what happens when you're skinny, I guess. You just look shorter. I don't know. Good round, Ross. I'm glad we have you back.
Yeah. Good work to you, Kyle.
All right, nice job, boys. That's another episode of Flagrant Howls. Please click the like button and the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel. And over on Apple and Spotify, you can help us grow the show by giving us a 5-star rating and a positive review. And let us know what you think about these Thursday Jim Pete episodes. We're having a blast with these. And be on the lookout for a random Wolf of the Week joining us for a bonus episode before the end of the week is over. He's Kyle. I'm Phil. That's producer extraordinaire Ross. This is a Timberwolves Lifestyle podcast.